I want to invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just want to teach a little bit this morning. And I want to teach on and talk about the power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. We've been hearing so much all this week about the spoken word. And so I just want to take some time and teach a little bit and just lay some real good foundation in us so that the things that are going to be operating in you by the Spirit as you leave here, you're going to have a real good foundation in you for it. And it'll just embolden you that much more to continue speaking. The power of the spoken word. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So Father, I thank you for this message. We submit ourselves to you. To release and to speak those things you want released and spoken and taught. We ask you for the right scriptures, the right examples, and the right illustrations. We thank you. I ask you for clarity. I ask you for simplicity. I ask you for accuracy. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing to teach and the anointing to hear and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the power of the spoken word. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them," by what? By the prophecies, "you may wage the good warfare." So we've heard this scripture come out, Pastor Vince's mouth, by the Spirit of God several times about waging a good warfare with the prophetic word. And that's in reference to this verse right here. And he tells Timothy to wage a good warfare, notice what it says, according to the prophecies. And the word prophecy, don't let the word prophecy spook you. The word prophecy simply means a speaking forth. To prophesy is to speak forth. So he's telling Timothy here, Timothy, wage a good warfare in your life by the things that have been spoken forth to you. The things that are spoken forth to us, we wage a good warfare with them. And the way we wage a good warfare with them, the things that are spoken forth to us, we take those things and we also speak them forth. You know, God's word is given to us to be spoken. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." How? In the Lord. And you know how you can, even you? You want to know how you, even you, can be strong in the Lord? You can be strong in the Lord by being strong in the word. The battle is for the word. This whole thing is for the word. Once the word gets planted in you, the word will do the work. I mean, the word will produce the change. The word will create new believing. It'll create a renewed mind. So all of this Holy Ghost stuff that's on the inside of you has a channel to work through and move through. The word will do the work. So the way to be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the Word, to be people of the Word, to receive the Word. Amen? The Word will do the work. The Word is going to bring you into your future. The Word planted in your heart is going to rise up and it's going to create unction in your life. It's going to create utterance in your life. And it's going to cause you to move somewhere. And you know where it's going to move you? It'll move you right into the center of the will of God. That's how pure and perfect the Word is. The Word is pure and perfect, and it works, if you let it run its full course, it works a pure and a perfect work. The Word of God in you, planted in your heart, coming out, releasing a new mind, coming out of your mouth, it'll always lead you into good places. It'll always bring you into the will of God. Always. Always. It's not hit and miss. The word, the Bible says, the Lord will light my candle. He will enlighten my darkness. By him I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. And then it says, the word of the Lord is proven. And the way of God is perfect. He'll even enlarge your path under you so your feet don't slip. Wow. We're so blessed. I said to Brother Vince before the service, we're so blessed. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We always emphasize the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost moves in accordance with the Word. And so we thank God for the strong, strong foundations of the Word of God that we have. And that comes through hearing and the teaching of the Word and the preaching of the Word. Amen. Even in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And what was the Holy Ghost waiting for? The spoken word. And even so it is today. The Holy Ghost is waiting for the spoken word. And we are the voice of God on the earth. He doesn't have another voice. He doesn't have a voice. Actually, hear what I'm saying today. It's the voice of God. If you'll close your ears and listen to the Spirit behind it, it's God talking to us. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His voice. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head and we are the body. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? We're not interested in people power. Right? Because we're not dealing with people power. All natural problems can be fixed in the Spirit. And now that we have a spiritual education, we have become root specialists. We're no longer so moved by fruit. But now we're learning how to go to the root. And the unseen is the root. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a root specialist. Hallelujah! Master of circumstances. Brother Joe, that sounds far out. To me, it doesn't sound far out. To the renewed mind, it sounds like Genesis chapter 1, I give you dominion. I mean, that doesn't sound far out. It sounds like Genesis chapter 1, God gave man dominion. Not to be under, but to be over. A master of circumstances. That's the way it was always supposed to be. No big deal. It might be a big deal to you because I've never heard that before. Wow. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. So we don't wrestle, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. What's he talking about? Hold your position in Christ. Hold the position of victory that's already yours. You're not trying to get the victory, you've already got the victory. You've been raised up in Christ. I said you've been raised up in Christ, and you've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, far above principality, power, might, dominion, far above the curse, far above poverty, far above sickness, far above disease, far above depression, far above fear, far above worry. And he says now, take your place and stand in your place. Yeah. Stand therefore, having what? Gird your waist with truth. We love truth. Everybody say, tell me the truth, preacher. Tell me the truth, preacher. Look at the preacher and say, don't lie to me, preacher. Right? If you're lied, you're not equipped. If you're lied to, you're not equipped. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, anytime you see this about faith, you can. It'll help you in your understanding. You can put the words in there, believing and speaking. Because the basic fundamentals of faith are believing what God said and speaking it. So we could read it this way. Above all, taking the shield of what? Believing God's word and speaking it. The shield of what? The shield of believing and speaking. So believing God's word and speaking it is a shield for you. Not only will it tear down strongholds, but also then it'll protect you. It's a shield for you. The shield of faith. And what does it shield you from? He tells you here. To take the shield of faith, the shield of believing and speaking God's word, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is not one fiery dart of the wicked one that can get through the shield of believing and speaking God's word. The devil, as brother said, makulitsha. He's very persistent. The enemy just keeps coming. But you know what? You can outlast him with the word. Yes. Just keep the shield up. Yes. Keep the shield up. All right? What's the shield? Faith. Believe and speak. 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 And spit too, like me. Believe and speak. You believe and speak long enough, some spit's going to come out of your mouth. That's all right. It'll get in the devil's eye. That's all right. Believe and speak. That's the shield of faith. Believe and speak. Amen? Amen. Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. Yes. How is he a shield? Through his word. Yes. He's our shield as we believe and as we speak. So notice, God doesn't have anything to work with unless you speak. He says you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And 17. It says, and take. Everybody say, take it.
Take.
All right, so this is some armor that you take up. You pick it up. And that's what we're being exhorted about this whole week, the power of the spoken word. It's something you need to pick up. And for all of us, we're being reminded to take that thing up. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So according to this verse, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And for anybody here that's dug into their Bible to any degree, you know the word where it says Word of God, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The word Word is actually the Greek word, which could be translated the utterance of God or the spoken Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is actually the spoken word of God. Right? All of this Bible, all of this is the logos of God. It's the written word of God, right? But if God speaks something to you, it's the rhema of God. It's the spoken word of God. But the reason we have the logos is to put it in our heart so that it can be rhema coming out of our mouth. Because when it's rhema coming out of our mouth, it carries dominion and carries authority. Amen? This book, next to your bed, I have one next to my bed. You have one next to your bed? This book, next to your bed, on your nightstand, has no power in it. Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Holy Bible. I have the holy book here. It'll keep the evil spirits away. No, the holy book won't keep evil spirits away unless the holy book gets in your mouth and in your heart and comes out of your mouth with dominion and authority. Actually, just having the Bible there and believing that there's power because of the Bible there, you're just superstitious and you're really in fear. And the white lady will probably come to your house. I mean, these are the same type of people that see the white lady. Or who, whatever color she is. I don't know. I've never seen her. She doesn't come to my house. I've had somebody come to my house before and, they're walking up. It's three floors. It's not that big, but it's three floors. And they walk. They say, you live here alone? I said, yeah, all by myself. You're not afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I said, afraid of what? A ghost or whatever. I said, there's no ghosts at my house. Maybe you have ghosts at your house. I don't have them at my house. But I don't allow them at my house. Do you allow them at your house? I mean, we don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I believe in evil spirits, but I don't believe they can stay in my house. But we're not superstitious. Amen. We have something more powerful than that. So look at verse 17 again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So what is the sword? What is the sword that we take up? It's what? It's the spoken word of God. Matthew chapter 4. Oh. Everybody say, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid
of the white lady. Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you.
Yes.
It's people's fear. It's people's fear that makes them subject to that.